We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. It's a blessing to be here, and it's good to see you.
Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can comment on the Facebook post, or you can send it to the Facebook page Messenger, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get it uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
I sure would. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we gather whatever and wherever we are, we just pray, Lord, that as we really do now butt right up against the Christmas season, the coming of your Son, Jesus, that our hearts and our minds and our souls are prepared for the coming of your Son, our King, our Savior. And so today, God, as we hear the scripture and we talk a little bit about what it means to experience Christmas, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will truly touch us deep in our soul and remind us just how much love and joy and peace and hope you bring. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title.
All right.
Experience Christmas, what do you see?
What do you see? So, we were just literally before we went on the air, I realized I don't think you and I have actually done a show together.
I don't think so.
I've done it with Neva, of course, with Monica. But I was like, I mean, you've been behind the camera, but I don't know if we've actually done a show together. So this is kind of cool. And you get to be part of the interactive one.
Yes.
Because I'm going to ask the questions, and you're going to – see, that's the way – see, you picked the wrong day. See, I gave Monica a heads up. And like, she's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Buckle your seatbelt, sister.
That's right.
That's why we're on this rotation.
That's
now.
Exactly. Well, this is – so I'm usually next week, and so I got moved up. So it's just the way this calendar worked out. So, no, I think I want to start with just thinking about a little bit about – you know, we're when we record this, we're 5 days from the Christmas holiday. So we are right on top of it. I mean, We are in full swing at the church right now. We are getting sanctuary ready, the Life Center ready, because we got services all day Sunday. You know, I serve multiple churches, and so those churches are getting ready. We're printing bulletins. I mean, we have printed more bulletins. Oh my goodness. I'm like, our copy machine is like, please get done. Cause we just keep copying and copying and copying. But I wanted to start back a little further today. And I'm going to share my story. I kind of want to hear a little bit from you too, but what are the things that get you excited leading up to Christmas? What is it that sort of signals to you that, hey, it's time? Now, I jokingly said this in our church. We, you know, not every church does it, but in our church we celebrate Advent, which is the four Sundays before Christmas, and we actually celebrate with a wreath. And so each the wreath has four candles, and then the big white Christ candle in the middle. And as a pastor, I've done this. You know, this is my 24th year to be a pastor during the Christmas season. And when we light candle number one, it's like, oh, it's on. we're on the go now. You know. That's one of those sights that I see. I also think about, now, I don't know, and I'm curious. I'm always curious when people put decorations up and things like that. But because my family, especially my wife, we put it up really early. I'm just not going to lie to you. Like, 1st of November. Our Christmas stuff's been up for months. And as weird as that sounds to some, it doesn't to me. See, I grew up with it. My mom and she had a business partner at the time. They did crafts. And so they would have a Christmas craft open house in November to sell their stuff. And it would be at my house. So my friends got used to, if you came over to Scott's house, it started Christmas in November. Forget December. We're in November. My wife picked it up when we got married. She's like, you can do that? And so November the 4th, it was up, I think, at our house. But one of the things I love about the decorating, the experience, is I am a sucker for sitting in my chair, putting my feet up, and just looking at Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. Now, that is completely contrary to my normal personality. I am, by nature, a guy who works at Mach 3. I don't sit down. I am a go guy. In fact, you know, after I had my surgery back in October, I was a little slow slower than normal. And about 3 weeks ago or so, I've kind of got all my energy back. And my associate pastor, Terry, he jokingly said, your Energizer Bunny is back. Because I'm moving full speed again. So for me to stop, sit in my chair, take a breath, and just look at the twinkling lights is a very powerful moment for me. Mm. When I sit there, I hear the stories about Jesus being the light of the world. I can hear the gospel of John, that the light overcomes the darkness. It's one of the ways that I begin to start experiencing Christmas. Those sights and sounds that help get me ready for what's about to come. And I mean, we all laugh about it, but this is probably our busiest season of the year in the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, between everything family-wise and party-wise and kid-wise and, of course, all the church services and things, it's just flat busy. But those moments that I treasure, sitting there in my chair, looking at the lights, that's one of the ways I get ready and prepare for what's coming, for what I might see. So I would ask you the same question. What are some of the sights, the sounds that get you excited?
Well, I'm more of a Thanksgiving gal.
I like Thanksgiving. No. Now, trust me, I like Thanksgiving. I just, yeah.
And I'm not much of a decorator. So I'm ashamed.
You don't have to be.
I don't have to be ashamed either that I don't even have a tree up.
That's not a problem.
But we do like going to Christmas in the park and enjoying those festivities. 100%. We went last weekend for the last weekend. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites, is driving around looking at everybody else's lives.
Okay.
I don't like the work of doing it.
No, and I think that's important to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother she put up a little small tree. Now, she had a tree when I was really young, but by the time she got really old, she didn't put up a tree, just put up a little small something. But for her, it was, you know, she liked watching the specials on TV and mm-hmm. different things. Everybody's different. And I think that's important, is that it's not one thing. Well, one of the things that gets me about the season is that it really isn't just one thing that really pushes us and focuses us towards the coming of the Christ child. For some, maybe it's baking cookies. Mm. Okay, I'm not a baker. I like to cook. I love to throw stuff together, but baking is too regimented for me. But there is something about baking some fresh cookies. Mm-hmm. That sugar cookie smell or that gingerbread smell that just like, oh, it's Christmas. Or maybe like a friend of mine, they still go and cut down a live tree. Now, I haven't put up a live tree. I'm a little allergic to them. But he goes and gets a live tree, and he talks about the smell. that aroma of a fresh tree. Mm-hmm. Now, I might shoot some stuff, but I'm not going to go do that. Because that would cause me to sneeze through the whole season, and that's probably not okay.
Right.
So, but every one of us has something. For some, it is the kids' Christmas program at church. Mm-hmm. You know, most churches do some version of a kids' program. We do it at our church. And, you know, there is something about watching, you know, 25 little kids get up there and sing Christmas carols. And you're just like, yeah. That, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? So there's just there's 100 jillion reasons. But the truth is, all of them are meant to help us focus on the Christ child. But unfortunately, I think with all of the advantages we have this season, with all the Christmas specials and all the lights and the decorating and the cookies and the Christmas, all the stuff, it worries me a little bit that we won't see and we won't hear and we won't feel, we won't experience the coming of the Christ child. And what will happen is we'll wake up in January and we'll say, it's already over? Where'd it go? What happened? And the truth is, it's kind of an unfortunate truth, but the truth is, that's not too dissimilar to what happened at his actual birth. The story goes, and if you're looking on Facebook, you'll see the scripture today is from Luke, and it's the passage specifically where Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. I love this passage. But one of the things that has always intrigued me is I have always looked at these two women and I thought, what would I have seen? What would you have seen? First one, a young, unmarried, pregnant, first century girl. Now, let's be honest. Now, we're speaking on, of course, this side of Christmas, and we're like, oh, I would have seen the beautiful Mary. No, you wouldn't have. Let's call it what it is. There are words that we're not going to share on the radio, on the air, that would have been said to her. If nothing else, the stares. Mm-hmm. The shame. Think about how her family felt. I mean, in this day and time, you're betrothed. And so that family had spent over, probably more than a decade being betrothed to this other family. And now, you know, in their mind, she has wronged Joseph and that other family, plus her own family, disparaged them. Because, I mean, who's really going to believe a young girl that was, you know, says, I got pregnant through the Holy Spirit? Imagine how alone she felt. To the point that she actually travels some 80 miles to get away from Nazareth and goes to the hill country of Judea to see her cousin Elizabeth or her relative Elizabeth. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Now, we know the rest of the story, so let's, I mean, I don't want to over dramatize this, but I don't want to under dramatize this either. There's a lot of things that could have happened to Mary. Joseph didn't have to take it as well as he did. I mean, we know from scripture, mm-hmm. before the angel, Joseph had decided to divorce her quietly, which was the sweetest thing. Mm-hmm. Because by right, he could have done everything from banishment to death. Mm-hmm. Okay? So at least he was kind enough to do that. Now, we know later on, of course, Gabriel visits him and Joseph definitely comes around, becomes a huge part of the story. But I've often thought, what would I have seen if I'd been in Nazareth? I probably wouldn't have seen or heard or experienced the Christ child. I would have been more about, what have you done? Why are you lying? What did you really do? and we might have missed it. So I take you to the other woman in the story. Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth, of course, is a much older lady, way past childbearing years. Now, we don't exactly know how old she was. Scripture doesn't really tell us. But clearly, she's past normal childbearing years. And she and Zechariah never had a kid. So imagine when all of a sudden Elizabeth starts showing. I am sure there were a few people who went, isn't she a little old for that? You know, isn't she a little past time to do that kind of stuff? Because she's an enigma. You don't have children her age. I can imagine people kind of making fun of her or laughing at her. I'll be honest. I have teased one of my best friends. He's 6 months older than I am. And yet he had kids a lot later. Okay. And so his youngest is just now starting middle school. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you'll be graduating out of high school when you're on Social Security. You know, I'm so mean to him about that. But I laugh about it. But I kind of tease him just for fun. But imagine in the first century, the teasing and the ridicule at Elizabeth. You couldn't have kids when you could play with them. Now you're too old. I wonder what I would have said. If I had been in the northern country of Judea and lived near Zechariah and Elizabeth, what would I have seen? What would you have seen? Would you have seen this as a miracle or a miraculous thing? Or would you have, didn't she love this? So imagine for just a moment what you would see when these two women, who literally, one of them a young woman who's basically being run out of town because she's pregnant, even though she claims it was the Holy Spirit and she didn't cheat on Joseph, and then this old woman, who literally is way past childbearing years, all of a sudden, imagine what you would see if you saw these two women together. It's a little mind-boggling at that point, isn't it? And I would guess that the vast majority, and by vast, I mean vast majority, of people didn't see what was actually taking place. Because they couldn't get past the ridicule, the shame, the mocking, the finger pointing. They couldn't see the beauty of this soon-to-be young mother and this soon-to-be old mother coming together. And, I mean, we have these beautiful words we're about to talk about. You know, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy. Mm-hmm. They didn't see that. But before I start condemning, I have to ask myself, would I have seen it? Would you have seen it? See, that's what hits me about this season. Literally around us are the sights and the sounds of Christmas. Christmas in the park. I got to work it just the other night. I'm a Rotarian, and so Rotary night was Saturday night, and so I got to work the train. Talk to all kinds of fun to families standing in line and watch that train go around multiple times. And it was just a beautiful night, just sharing, and it was a gorgeous evening the other night. So it was just beautiful, right? Going, and we're actually leaving tomorrow to go visit my daughter and go see her, and then my kids are coming into town next weekend, and we're getting ready for Christmas Eve, which is one of the most beautiful services. I love officiating at Christmas Eve. It's one of my favorite services. All the things around me and around us that should focus us in, almost laser focus us into the Christ child. Doesn't always do that. In fact, sometimes we get so caught up in the everything else. Mm-hmm. We get caught up in the hustle and the bustle. And I'm not opposed to hustle and bustle. Please don't misunderstand me. I like a little bit of hustle and bustle. Again, it's right up my personality alley. But between everything, I don't want to wake up in January and regret that once again I've missed Christmas. That once again, Christmas was just something I had to get through. And the worst part is when I say these things, I always hope I get responses of, I've never said that, but I never do. Even in this room, y'all are like, both of you are just shaking your head like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. When I've talked about this at church, people go, yeah. I want someone to go, I don't know what you're talking about. I get Christmas every year and I love it. I wish that was the case, but normally the response I get is, yeah, Pastor, we hear you. And that breaks my heart because this is one of the two most important things we do in the life of the church. Christmas and Easter are just invaluable to our faith, to what we believe about Jesus, to what we believe about God. And yet, sometimes we miss it.
Mm-hmm. That's the part I love about it, but that's why I have mixed feelings about it. Because
yes,
it gets lost.
It does. And that's the scariest thing to me. Because, so like Easter, I mean, Easter really is a Christian holiday. And so is Christmas, but most people, even non-Christians, celebrate some kind of Christmas time. The culture tries to help us out for the last month. I mean, I grew up in Oklahoma City, and so if you ever are in a place thousands of miles away, and somebody says, oh, I'm from Oklahoma City, you will know if you just start singing that B.C. Clark jingle. Because if they could sing it, you knew they grew up where you do. I was, true story, I was in the Atlanta airport one time waiting on a flight. And the person that was sitting down next to me saw I had an OU hat on because I always, I mean, you guys, if you don't know, I'm a big OU fan. I wear OU all the time. Anyway, I have an OU hat on. They said, are you from Oklahoma? And I was like, yeah, you know, I pastor church there. And I said, where'd you grow up? I said, Oklahoma City. Well, I did too. And literally on cue, both of us went, do you know the B.C. Clark jingle? Because that's how we knew both of us were from Oklahoma City, because by gosh, we knew. And so every time I see that, right? These are the markers that should help us stay focused. Mm-hmm. It's the one time a year the culture comes our way. Usually we're fighting culture, right? But this is not one of them. They put lights up for us to look at. They have parties for us to look at. Even the decorations at the mall. Mm-hmm. You get, I mean, you do have nativity scenes in places that you wouldn't otherwise get them. Mm-hmm. This is a grand opportunity. I mean, the angels, no less, said, you know, this is the time of good news of great joy. This is the time of good news of great joy. And I know most of us do most of our shopping now on Amazon and don't go to the mall, but if you've gone out, does it depress anybody else that people look so disgruntled while they're shopping?
It's not surprising.
No, it's not surprising, but it's sad.
It is sad.
But it's sad. Mm-hmm. It bothers me. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about, you know, why do we give gifts? You know, we do it as a celebration. We do it as a remembrance of the Christ gift of Christ. I mean, I've done it. I want to make this very clear. When I say the following things, it is not an indictment on anybody else other than myself. Okay, because I have gone shopping and had a scowl on my face. Let me assure you, I love shopping.
Yeah.
I love Amazon because I can sit in my chair watching the lights and buy. But when I think about, you're buying a gift for someone that you care enough about to buy a gift for. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't that bring you joy? You're buying a gift because you want to remind that person of the gift of Jesus, so you're giving a gift, which is why we do gifts. shouldn't that bring you some hope and some peace and some love and some laughter? Why does it bring the opposite? Why does it not feel that way? Why did literally the entire culture miss the birth of Christ? Why did they not see Mary and hear her words? Why did they look and scorn Elizabeth? Why do we? We get so caught up in all of the negativity and all of the heartache and all the pain that sometimes it's almost as if Christmas mocks us. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of people that I, as soon as I said that, come to mind who just don't like the Christmas holiday. They think everybody else is happy and they're not. And it just, it's difficult. And I get that. But even for someone who is down or sad, or this isn't your favorite, or maybe you lost a loved one near Christmas time, that's always a tough one. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be happy, happy, joy, joy. But maybe there's a peace that comes. Maybe there's just some love that comes. Maybe some hope. And maybe a little joy. Maybe just a reminder that, you know what, I'm not alone. Any of those. But how quickly those get lost to everything else. So that literally Mary gets run out of her hometown. Zechariah can't speak for 9 months. And yet, what a beautiful scene when these two women come together. Mm-hmm. How many people missed it? In the second half of today, we're going to talk about how we work really, what we have to do in our own lives so that we don't miss it. How do we embrace those markers? How do we embrace this holiday so that we don't get to January and go, oh my gosh, it's over. Instead, over the next, I mean, for us, 5 days until we get to Christmas Day, how can we prepare our hearts to be ready to join those shepherds on our knees at the manger? So we're going to talk about that in the second half of the program so that we can truly experience Christmas and see what we're called to see. We'll do that in the second half of the program.
I'm excited. That's going to be good.
You know, yesterday, I got a message from a friend. He's a widower, and his wife passed away about the same time my husband passed away, 10 years ago. And grief is so strange, Pastor Scott.
It is.
It's either going to get you and grab you, or you're going to get a grip on it. And I know.
Sometimes both at the same time.
Yes. And for myself, I had to. You know, the Bible talks about he's close to the brokenhearted. And when I read that, I began to remind the Lord, not that he needs reminding, but I just tell him, Daddy, your word says that you're close to the brokenhearted.
Yes.
That you bind up their wounds. Here's my heart. I don't even think I have all the pieces. Can you do anything with it? And even if we don't think we have all the pieces, he puts the missing pieces in there. And then he can and he will heal and bind up the brokenhearted.
Absolutely.
And yesterday, me and my friend were talking about Bible, about scripture. And I told him, I said, you know, someone did a teaching on the talents. And it made me think, talents. Could the talents in today's time, nowadays, could that represent the time we have on earth and the talents that we were gifted? Are we doing what we can, doing our best, or are we so afraid getting hurt again, of this happening again? Or are we so afraid of the Father that we bury them and do nothing? And my friend, he was like, wow, I've never really thought of it that way. And then we began to talk about our experiences about losing our spouses and just family stuff. And that just, we spur each other on.
Yes.
You know, when one of us is in the pit, we check on each other this time of year.
Yep.
And we just remind each other of the hope. Not the, oh, I hope I get this. It's the hope of, is he here yet? When, is that, oh, is that him?
Yeah.
Expectant hope.
Expectant, absolutely.
It's, we're expecting to be rejoined, to be joined with him. And that is what helps us continue. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, I've had to get myself to a place where when I start feeling, or when I catch myself there and I start feeling certain ways, you know, I flip it. When I realize, oh, I'm in this grief again and it's trying to grab hold of me, nope, thank you God for the gift of my husband. Thank you, Father, for the gift of that daughter. I thank you for the time, the precious time that we've had together. Mm-hmm. And I thank you that you're with me always. Mm-hmm. I switch into a gratefulness, attitude of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Even if I'm curled up in a ball, laying in a puddle of tears, I will have an attitude of gratitude for the blessing